Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. I'd like to turn to Pope Benedict XVI's catechesis this past Wednesday for the Year of Faith, to the passage when he explained how, quote, we have seen that a mysterious desire for God lies deep within the human heart. By his grace, he went on to say, God inspires and accompanies our efforts to know him and find our happiness in him. I picked that quotation to introduce the second part of the series, The Task of Happiness, of Human Suffering and Christian Joy, by Dominican preacher and poet Father Paul Murray. Today he takes us to death row.
I want to begin with a letter written some years ago by a young man on death row in South Africa. He was 22 years old, and his name was Kevin. He wrote this letter, his last letter, shortly before his execution by hanging. Although Kevin was Catholic and as a child had been an altar boy, later, during his teenage years, he completely drifted away from God and from the Church and ended up committing a number of terrible crimes. But in prison, he was visited by a remarkable religious sister called Sister Gerda, whom I myself was fortunate sometime later to meet. Gerda was a German nun whose own father, many years before, had been held as a prisoner in a concentration camp. Somehow, as the weeks passed, with the help of Gerda, Kevin found himself being drawn back to God. I read this letter here because it speaks directly to the title of this talk, The Task of Happiness, and because it is a letter radiant with joy, though obviously composed at a time and within a context of great human suffering. Kevin's letter to Gerda begins.
Yes, my dear Mother in Christ, the hour has eventually come for me to depart from this sinful world. I will die with the name of Jesus on my lips and in his arms. I'll trust and believe until the last moment. It's only Jesus who can help me now. I can't understand. Something is drawing my desire towards the joys of heaven, and yet I have to experience death. I want, and I really, really wish to go freely. Nothing stands in my way, not even those I love most. It's because the love of Christ is stronger, firmer, more trustworthy, real, and free. I write this letter with tears of joy in my eyes, knowing that God is with me. I'm indeed more than happy that I've found my God and Savior again. It's inexplicable. It seems that the moment I start to pray, I'm directly in touch with God, or I feel that I must give my heart just that one jump of desire into eternity. Sister, I've been so much unloved in my life, but I've at last experienced the love I longed for in the Lord through you. Tomorrow I go as a child of God, the lost son returning home, saying for the last time, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I offer you my heart and my soul. Take me as I am.
Sister Gerda told me later that at her last meeting with Kevin in prison, he was so transformed and happy that neither he nor his mother could shed a tear on saying goodbye. As the visit came to a close, much to Gerda's astonishment, the joy in Kevin's face remained undimmed. In fact, Gerda told me, singing, he parted from us. The context in which Kevin composed his letter, on death row, with the expectation of certain death the following day, is far removed from the ordinary context in which most of us pursue our everyday Christian lives. But the letter serves to bring into sharp relief, all the same, some of the roads and paths which, sooner or later, all of us must begin to follow if we are to possess that joy, which is not something merely shallow or transitory, but a reality lasting and deep. In my own understanding, the breakthrough into joy is occasioned by three different kinds of experience or forms of practice. And as it happens, I find all three of them present here in Kevin's letter. First, the experience of prayer. Second, the experience of being loved. And third, the experience of suffering.
Hear part three in this series at this same time next Saturday. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.